What's up, Connor?
How are you? It's so nice to see
Wow, look at that. Boys, do you see what we have today? We figured it out.
You don't? Then get on YouTube.
Yeah, if you don't see what I'm pointing at or have any idea what I'm talking about,
this is
going to
be a
YouTube.
Visual medium really soon. We're going to be trying on outfits, and I'll even show you my red light mask if you're good.
Wow, that's not what I thought you were going to go for. Who knows?
No.
Your crown jewels. Your family.
I do feel like if
jewels.
I were to have nudes leaked, I would get ahead of it to make money.
If either of us gets nudes leaked, we have to do it on the pod.
Probably.
to capitalize.
And we would hire a real photographer to like do a really tasteful shoot.
Tasteful shoot.
And then charge a bunch of money for it.
Yeah.
No, I don't want her to see me naked at all.
Okay, well then
one time Kenzie offered to take nude photos of me, and it was like, I said yes because I'm like a people pleaser. Not that she was desperate. That she was like, she didn't beg. I'll say that.
She wasn't knocking on the
she
door.
She wasn't begging, but it was just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But in my head, I was like, I'm so not doing that.
Well, I don't think I would be comfortable with really anybody taking a nude photo of me personally, but
yeah,
it's tough. It's really vulnerable, I'm sure.
Well, one time I really wanted this guy to paint me, but then I ghosted. So I don't know.
Paint me like one of your French girls?
Yeah. He was
wow.
like a painter. And then he's like, And I was like, that does sound kind of hot.
Yeah.
But I just actually don't want to go to your house.
Yeah. Did you see any boys clubs this week you want to talk
about?
Yeah.
So I joined a new gym. I don't go to Equinox anymore because I didn't want to go to a sex gym. I was like,
All the straight people who are listening are like, what?
They know.
Is it
know.
A sex gym for straight people or just gay people?
That's an amazing question. I just don't know where they'd be doing it.
Yeah,
if they were
true. That's like the biggest, you know, for the horny straights out there. If no other reason to get rid of these stupid bathroom laws, come on. Don't you want to have the experience?
I know. I do wonder how straight people had.
Don't you want to live like a gay guy?
Who's that guy who was married to Miley Cyrus and then cheated on her in his in their house together?
I didn't even know about that.
Liam Hemsworth.
In the house?
Yeah.
In her house.
The house that she filmed that music video in. With Jennifer Lawrence, maybe.
Maybe.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
On Reddit, it says that.
Well, that's where truth is found.
But we don't blame Jennifer Lawrence for that because we actually don't blame anyone.
We don't. Wait, time out. So you changed gyms?
Oh, yeah. I didn't tell you this.
No. I knew you were looking.
No one listens to me.
I knew you were looking, but I didn't know that it was like finalized.
Bro, I freaking moved. So now I belong to two gyms, but only for another week because I'm going to leave Equinox before the billing date. Unless I forget. So I need to remember to cancel Equinox. I don't go there anymore. I wanted a happy place, a nice gym, a joyous gym. I wanted, I shouldn't say it, right?
I mean, that's totally up to you, but maybe not.
I shouldn't say it, but I go to the one that Hell in New York goes to, so now I can't say it. Yeah, that's right.
What?
She looked tired, which is her right.
I saw her once. I saw her once when she was pregnant.
On, before and after.
Oh, this was before. I saw her on the Q train or something.
Wow, she's out and about.
I know. I was like, Helen, New York, why are you on the subway?
We can't say where on the Q train. In the Q train, it's fucking spans.
It's long. It's long, yeah. Okay, so you have a new gym. You're looking for a nicer boys club of gym to be a part of.
Yeah. Now, what I will say is I wanted to get away from gay guys. What I didn't expect was a Blue Lives Matter shirt. So,
oh,
like,
no.
I think I've gone too far.
Yeah, you swung
I was sitting there,
too
I
close to the sun.
It didn't totally say Blue Lives Matter, but it was like an American flag, and then it had like a red stripe. You know that it's never good. The stripes
you
are never good.
You never want to see a different, unless it's like the gay flag.
I think we should, wait, I have a business plan.
Is it a gay American flag?
I think so.
They have those.
I haven't seen one.
You've never seen a gay American flag?
I think like we...
I mean, those communities don't always overlap.
I know.
It's really...
But it's kind of like, what if
we
took it back? Kind of like being Catholic and you're like, we're doing this on our terms.
Sure.
We're taking it back.
Taking
back the flag. We're profiting off of this. I think that could be an interesting thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you see it, like it had... I actually was like, oh, maybe it's Palestine. No. Because it was like red, green, and blue. And the red is something.
Firefighters, I think.
Totally. Applauding that if it was just red we'd be
and
in.
I think green is EMS
military.
Oh well,
and then so that one more in the middle and it's weird to cut off.
Well, I mean, I never have any veterans or people who are in like the, you know, sort of rank and file. I don't think people always have a choice in that, but the military as an institution is one of the most evil things in the entire world.
Wait, that's exactly how you say it. You're like, we support Bob, we don't support the military.
Yeah.
But Bob the veteran, we love Bob.
It's always upsetting to me that people can't see the difference in that and how, like, when people criticize the military, you know, people who served in it, obviously they have a different experience and maybe they feel tied to it in a different way, but, like, I'm like, we're not mad at you.
No, we're not.
We want you to have rights.
We're obsessed with Bob.
Yeah.
Bob we love. Not Bob at the gym. Bob who I was I was in an incline press and he walked really close to me jarringly. And it's like, you almost hit me in my incline press. I would have dropped this dumbbell on me and died. I don't, you're too nearsighted to be in any of the three institutions. That's part of the problem. Like, so
he said, babe, you wouldn't even pass the test.
It was jarring. And then you're at this new happy gym where like your people aren't having sex, but they are evil. And then, so it's like kind of a weird trade off.
They're either having sex or they're Blue Lives Matter. Those are two camps.
Where's the middle gym? What's in the middle?
CrossFit, maybe?
Part of me was like, does Helena York know about this? Because she's not going to be into that.
You start emailing. You're like, can I get Helena's contact? She doesn't know.
I got to tell you, I think CrossFit is... CrossFit corporate is super... is wacky.
Yeah.
Wild.
Well, CrossFit's one of... CrossFit also has a bunch of, like... There's a lot of various first responders that are, like, big into CrossFit. I think it's a good workout that mimics their... I don't know, just sort of what they do.
Yeah.
Because it's like functional training and stuff, you know?
So funny.
Like, so I think that's
like we are sitting here looking gorgeous. But
yeah,
like, CrossFit
doesn't mimic what we do so much.
Okay, so when I went to school,
unless
in North
it was like
Carolina,
picking up the pen.
It's nothing. But when I was in school in North Carolina, this like woman who was like a mom, she like came to try to recruit people to go to her CrossFit gym and she had like a table. Remember when people would table? She had like a table.
Yeah.
And then she was like, CrossFit's not a workout. I do this for life. How would I lift my... I'm a mom of two. Like, how would I walk around my kids? Like,
I was just having this conversation with Maddie last night. She asked me if I... Well, no. She was asking me if I was familiar with the idea of functional training, which is supposed to be, like, basically training that's designed to mimic... Again, like I said, mimic your day-to-day life and something like that. There's kind of two camps of people. Uh-huh. There's people who are like, I do functional training to deadlift so that I can, like, pick up heavy things when I have to move or I can pick my children up. And then there's people who are like, what if I have to carry a boulder in the, like, zombie apocalypse? And
wait, those
like,
are not the camps
whoa.
I thought you were going to say.
Oh,
that's not where I thought you were headed.
It doesn't have to be that intense.
I think there are three camps. The two that you just did.
A third camp has entered the chat.
It's, okay, so a boulder anxiety, the world is ending. It's I'm a mom and
Sisyphus.
Those ones. I'm a mom. You're going to have to do the caption for that if we use that. And
Sisyphus?
Then, I don't know any of
that. Sisyphus is the guy that is the Greek mythology pushing it up the hill and he dies every day.
Running up that hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then CrossFit moms who have to take their kids to the pre-K. And then I was thinking vanity is the third one. Because that's kind of what I want. Not to talk about my body on pod. I'm doing that last, don't you think? And
I think
then
you're doing a great job.
Amazing. So happy I brought it up. But I do feel like it's kind of like I'm not trying to like hang onto a tree in a tsunami. Like I'm not even trying to climb the stairs. Like I just want to look like kind of like good at the beach. And like that's kind of like I just want the vanity workout.
I don't know if there's as many people who are looking for that sort of angle at CrossFit because it's so intense of an environment.
No, sure, sure.
That's not to say that there aren't. There's all kinds of people who end up at these places, but
So, but I went to the CrossFit Games when I was younger.
Of course, of course,
because I worked for RX Bar in my 6 months before I got laid off. Part of that was, and they gave me, I still have, they gave me Reebok Nanos, which means something to someone, and they're like really big lifting shoes. And now I wear them at the gym to be like, I have Reebok Nanos.
I know. Sometimes I feel like a poser. Because I'm not a poser, but like whenever I'm lifting at the gym, I'm just wearing like regular sneakers, and there's always people in like the kind of like lifted shoes. You know what I'm talking about?
To tell you something. What? This guy said that he saw me at the gym, and then I said, was my form bad? As a joke, and he said, awful. And then I felt really bad about it. And now I feel really anxious when I go to the gym, and I need someone to come follow me around
the
gym.
Well, it's like if you thought that, come save someone's life.
Wait, but like, was it awful?
I don't know. I've never seen you lift.
But like, I've never, knock on wood, I've never injured myself. I do think like I know my little bod pretty well.
Yeah.
Like I know how to like round my spine, tuck my little core.
You also don't like, I don't think you're somebody that like tries to do more than you can.
I err on the side of high rep over like, I'm not squat. You think I'm squatting? I'm not squatting.
Well, there's just, I don't know. Some people are into big heavy lifting. I'm just like not trying to injure myself as an adult in any way. No. In any way.
I pay $450 a month and I cannot go to the doctor. So it's kind of like, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Fidelis. Wait, but here's the thing with the new gym. So I went to go, now I go to a new gym. And what I like about it is that there's like giant co-working space, which is really interesting.
Oh, that's
and,
nice.
Yeah. So a lot of these people, they don't even go to a gym. They go to a co-working space. Like they're paying, they don't come in workout clothes. I don't see them go anywhere. They're taking calls and they're just like fully working, like running their businesses out of the co-working
people
space.
People are desperate for places to congregate.
I know.
Desperate.
Yeah. And yesterday there was this woman and this other, they were like co-workers, I guess.
Sure.
One of them had a laptop sticker that said not here to make friends. And I was like, okay, I won't beg, but like, fine. And then the woman next to her, she was talking about her boyfriend and how he said his ex's name. After they had had so much fun at karaoke.
No.
Who was fun at karaoke? I know.
Oh, that's tough.
And then they talked about
one
it for
time,
a long time.
One time my ex, one of my exes called me by her ex's name and I was like, that's tough. They were close. Well, maybe the names are close.
Maybe
but
they were like a really hot ass, and then it's like flattering, but like maybe not.
You think hotter than me? Come on.
No, I don't. And then she said, this is the craziest part. I think that she needs to break up with him because she has too many hesitations.
Yeah,
it's
did
like
you
very
tell her?
Obvious. No, but like it was very clear that she's a lot of hesitations.
Yeah.
And she kind of reminded me of Greta Gerwig and Frances Ha. Like an uncertainty about her.
Yeah.
The guy goes to therapy twice a week because he had a rough childhood. And she says that it's hard, that therapy is such a big part of his life and she's not a part of it. That feels too far gone.
I think that they both need to get themselves sorted separately and continue on.
I know. And this coworker was not helpful.
If you're in twice a week therapy, and all good if you are, I think that that's wonderful to be taking care of yourself at the clip that you need to be. But maybe consider you're not in a place for a relationship.
Also, why Monday, Tuesday? Try Monday, Thursday.
I would almost rather do like 1 5-hour session than two. You know what I mean?
Well, this one time I went on this one date with a guy who was a painter, and he just 3 times a week. Who has time for that? A painter. And
what painter has the money and the time?
I think it's a part of when people are in school, they'll like therapize you for total free.
Sure.
I feel like it's like someone who's like getting, it's like some type of therapy. I forget. Like he sits there and talks about his childhood. I don't even know. Or he dreams maybe. I don't remember. It was like some really crazy thing, and he goes to the Upper West Side for it.
There's all kinds of therapy out there that is like, I feel like every day I'm hearing about a new therapy style.
I know. What's the answer? Cognitive behavioral.
God, if I know.
Fuck cognitive behavioral. Because like, I do love my therapist who hasn't texted me since last week, by the way. Like, I never followed up to Christopher's session. It's like, okay, no problem. But it's like, I feel like for him, cognitive behavioral is always like, oh yeah, our strategies, let's do a breathing exercise.
I hate that shit.
I
like talk therapy the best personally, but.
Yeah, I probably should be back into talk therapy. Wait, yeah. But so my boys club is people that go to the co-working space and Hell in New York. What is your boys club?
Okay, I have a pretty big one for today that I think will encapsulate kind of a lot of boys clubs. But I just started a new video game. Any boys who have been listening for a while know that I'm kind of new to video games. I haven't been playing them for that long in my lifetime, but my roommate got a PS5, and now we have an extra PS4 lying around the house, and he was kind enough to let me sort of take it and use it. So I've been playing a lot of Spider-Man, which is an excellent video game, but I just started this game called Elden Ring, which is like the biggest like game they've made. Like, I doubt we have anybody who cares this much about video games that they're going to come for me in the comments or anything. I would implore you to come for me in the comments so we can get some traction on this video. But
I would love to break into the gaming community.
I would love to get those fellas. But this is part of my boys club, is because, so this game is like really, really complicated, and it's not very intuitive. It's not as like spelled out for you as like a lot of video games. When you start, they kind of teach you what to do. This is one of those ones that you kind of figure it out more on your own. Totally.
Like
that. Totally. And but so it requires a lot of like Googling and going on Reddit and like using the community to like kind of figure out like how do I do this, because it's so confusing. So there's a lot of online community about this game.
Oh my God.
There's so many videos about it. There's so many Reddit threads about it. And it's really interesting because some guys are like so nice to each other, and others are such douche lords about the whole thing. Like, how do you not understand this? And so there's like a lot of there's some really positive boys clubs happening and some really negative boys clubs happening.
I think there's something really cool about being kind of inaccessible. People being like, if you want it, you'll get it. Like, figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, don't be simple. Don't be like first thought, first try. Like, make people fucking work for it.
Yeah. Well, when I was thinking about this today, I was like, this is one of the biggest boys clubs I've entered because it's such a massive, like, video gaming is so massive and this game is so massive. But I was also laughing to myself thinking about like, any boys at home listening know that we're the best of friends and we have a lot in common and we'd like have a lot of overlap, but I was like, this is one of those things that I can't even begin to imagine you playing this game.
When you said it wasn't intuitive, I was like, no. Why?
I couldn't even
it's
imagine
not backyard baseball.
You watching me play this game and understanding what's happening. I couldn't even imagine you like interacting with it in any
it's
possible
almost
way.
Like that girl in therapy, her boyfriend's therapy, where it's like, this is such a big part of your life that I'm a part of. That's hard.
Literally, I was like, I just like, it's like one of those things where I'm like, you and I have certain things that it's like our lives couldn't be more like we have so much overlap, but then there's just certain little things that we have some serious differences in.
Wait, there is this video. I do lift weights, to be clear. But there was this video of like a girl who was like, when a Pilates princess marries a gym bro, and then it was like her and her little people with way too much money in LA, and I hope they're doing well. But like she was like in her Pilates studio in their house, and then she runs to the workout room where he's like pumping iron, and I was like, why is this me and Nico? Like, why is this us? Me and my little Pilates studio, and then you're just like playing Elden Ring in your like boxing gym.
That's so funny. Yeah, that's where we're gonna be for Halloween this year.
Pilates princess and gym bro. And it was a long TikTok. It was a long.
Yeah, I mean, people are really stretching the form now that they like a lot of long videos. But yeah, anyway, so that was so my boys club, many boys clubs in their video games, Reddit threads.
Can you just tell me quickly what the objective is?
Yeah, so it's a fantasy video game, and the story was written by George R.R. Martin, who did all the Game of Thrones.
You should make the series. Movie.
No, it's too complicated. Though, like, this is another boys club. Is anybody who's who can think in that sort of like fantasy world building way.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. I mean, the like, it's like another language. It's crazy.
No, it's like when people talk about their pilots and they're like, it's sci-fi future.
It's like my brain's never going there. It's just not.
It's like, what about a workplace comedy?
What about a video game that's a workplace comedy? But basically, your objective is like, you're like a lone, you know, soldier, warrior, you know, vagabond person, and you're trying to level up and beat all the bad guys around this like world to get to the end, basically.
Vagabond.
So you're like kind of like, you have to build your weapons up and you have to kill like bad guys to get more money to like build your weapons and make your character stronger.
Magabond, vagabond. Nah. I still think the last thing I'll say about video games is that we have an idea for a video game, and it's Fire Island, the video game. We're not doing it to make money. We don't think there's enough people who are interested. But it would
Fire
be
Island, the
cool.
video game. It's like, will you make it back with a date, or will you be stuck forever?
Will you make it over the?
The actual real way to win is to go to Cherry Grove and find peace.
Yeah,
and find peace.
Can you convince someone to join your trio threesome? Blah 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 blah. Can you get your XYZ back?
Yeah, I think it's something.
It is.
All right. We'll bring our guest in.
Yes.
Boys, our guest this week is an amazing comedian. You may know him from TikTok, Instagram, all over the place. He also has a podcast, which he can tell you more about. We're so lucky that he's here with us today. Boys, please welcome our friend and yours, Madi.
Hi.
Welcome to the pod.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. Are you at all familiar with video games or that type of world?
Yeah. No, you know, like the videos on TikTok that are parents and they're like, can you watch my kid for a second? And then they walk away and it's like the kid takes the grape or not. That's what it feels like sitting here listening to you guys talk, because I want to say everything that you guys are talking about. I have something to say about everything. I just saw Helena York's play a couple weeks ago.
Oh my god, I had no idea.
Yeah, she was in a very short run, but strategic love play with the guy from Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Oh, nice. Was it funny?
Yeah.
I missed it. I'm sad.
It was like a British play adapted to America, and it was pretty cool. Brit did like this like Q&A with them. She got like hired to do this like, I don't know. So we got to go see it, which was really cool.
The Brits are always doing cool stuff with plays.
Yeah.
She just had a baby.
It like, I know. And you know, want to know something? Have you seen her husband?
No.
Her husband is insanely hot.
Yeah.
Thank like, God.
I saw him on the subway.
Climb him. Like, he's so tall and handsome. He looks like Travis. Like, he looks like the guy from
Kelsey.
The other two.
No. What's the guy's name?
Not Travis.
Wait, I'm embarrassed.
Oh, he doesn't look not like Travis Kelsey.
No. What's the guy's name in
Lance?
Lance. Yeah. So, like,
I love that actor, too.
They look kind of like they did a good casting of her romantic partner.
Yeah.
And he's so hot.
Yeah.
She is too, but.
There's something, okay, like you guys both have lovers, and like that's great. So, like, I think there's something really awkward about being on the subway with someone that you're romantically with. Do you know what I'm saying? When you said that Helena York was there with her husband, it'd be like, I would never be on the subway with my husband. Cause, like, how would we look at each other?
It's my favorite to be on the subway.
Yeah,
with,
I love being on the
partner.
Subway with Maddie.
Oh my God. I am emotionally unavailable. I Googled, like, what is that? People always say that. And they're like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, it means that you want to be on the subway, not with your romantic partner.
Yeah.
But like, are you stressed by the subway? Because that could be, like, we play games.
I think that the subway is like the most public facing part of the world. And like, romantic intimacy is the most personal facing part of the world, and for those things to collide, it's like your parents coming to the school in the middle of the day and you're like, you're not supposed to be here.
Sure. Do you think it stresses you out to be gay on the subway in that
way? Thank you for saying that. I think that I literally do. Yeah, actually, yes.
Yeah.
I think there's something like about it actually is internalized, externalized, and all the allies homophobias that I could have.
Which is a fair, I mean, you know, obviously New York's a relatively safe place, but you know, that's a fair concern.
There's still this thing I do, like when I see two like men or what anyone making out, like gay people making out on the subway, where I'm kind of like, like to be supportive. And yeah. It's like, they know.
Oh my God. I have this all the time where if I see like another, I don't know if you relate to this, but if I see like another trans person in the world, I always want to be like,
yes,
you know, but then it's like, it's such a weird experience to like, sometimes I'll get the, like the return nod,
yeah.
like, especially with trans dudes, I feel like can clock each other pretty well. But like sometimes, like, especially on like the subway or something, if there's like a trans woman on the subway, I want her to know somebody
totally
else yeah. here sees her and would like, you know, but without being like, what's up, doll? You know, like, it's like,
well, it might, the dynamics that are weird though, just cause of your fame. Don't you think that? like if I had, I don't know.
I am a triple Z-lister. What are you talking about?
No, in New York, in Brooklyn, you're C-.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I mean that with love.
Like, I know.
I mean, that's
high praise. I appreciate it. I don't know. Well, you know, it is funny cause it's, I like, at the same time, there's obviously plenty of trans people, but then also it feels like there's not that many. So anytime I'm always like, I think I got some stuff you would love. Like, I think you would really love to follow my Instagram and come to my shows. I think you could help me help you.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You should have business cards.
I know, really. I should be like, yeah. I wish there was one that only trans people could read. I wish there was, say it again.
a backpack with a QR code.
Yeah.
I do want to be clear when I say that I like being on the subway with Britt. We're not making out. Like, I don't do the pee.
You can. You have
but
to.
But I don't want
it's
to.
It's kind of gross on the
I
subway.
Don't like the pee. No, we like mind meld. Like, we'll play games. We mind meld. Do you know mind meld when I say this?
Wait, I'm sitting way too far forward. I totally forgot the medium for a second. No, what's mind meld?
Like, we'll like count down like 3, 2, 1 and then say a word. And like try to get the same word, and then like each time you have to find what's common between the two words and get to it. So like if I say banana and she says strawberry, the next time 3, 2, 1 fruit.
What do the people around you get involved?
So
ever?
Here's the thing: a couple times people get involved, and Britt and I are both like main character energy, and so we're everyone's probably like, this couple's like so cool, like they got it on the first try. They're really in love. But we have a couple times people have like participated and done it with us. Which is fun.
That's
fun.
Oh my God. I don't want anything. I don't want whatever it is.
Do you
want
to get it?
It might be a beard trimmer. Yeah. No, I'll let it. Yeah.
A human coming to
they
trim
really
your
want.
Beard.
Yeah. The rest of the podcast, Connor's going to be like this, just getting his beard
trimmed.
You
should do that sometime, though. You should hire someone to come in and give you guys straight razor shaves or something.
Oh my God. That would be really fun.
We're not using the movie part of it. Do you know what I mean? The video.
Oh, yeah. This is a movie.
To try on outfits that are near me.
No, but that would be fun to have a hot shave.
Oh, yes.
God, I like how groomsmen do it before a wedding.
Like, we're not so far from a cooking show. We can have somebody
holding the mics like this as we're getting the hot shave. We're talking to each other.
Good. Live show at Club Coming, too. You should do that.
True. We could get a hot shave.
Yes.
There.
Just give me producer credits. And then
That stage is the perfect size to do a really tight thing.
Yeah, exactly. I did skirt your question, though. Yes, video games. I got into I was into video games as a kid playing with my older brother, and it was like it was a lot of like snowboarding games, FIFA, like never Call of Duty, but I would play that with my brother-in-law who is in the army. But we did, for top surgery, I got a Switch because everyone was like, you're going to want to recover. Like, you need something you could do in your lap, basically. Yeah. So I got a Switch and I love it. I'm playing Zelda now. And it sounds like what you're describing, where it's just like, the swordsman has to kill some monsters and collect apples.
That's basically the same thing. Yeah.
Do you enjoy that? What do you enjoy about it?
It's beautiful. Like, it's cinematic. Like, my brain, the way people can't figure out how planes fly and how cruises stay afloat, I can't figure out how video games happen.
Same.
Because they're so, a movie, you know, it's so planned out. I'm like, there's so many different ways for something to play out in a video game. Like, if I decide to kill that guy before that guy, how does it load and know where to take me next? Like, it's just so, like, the science behind it and tech is crazy to me, but it's beautiful. Whoever makes Zelda is like a beautiful landscape.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's just like, there's always adventures to do, and I like adventures.
Yeah. Elden Ring is the same way. I was like so blown away just by how gorgeous the animation is.
Yeah.
And how gorgeous like the world building is. And then the same thing, it's such an expansive, like, the whole point of it is that it's sort of a choose your own adventure in many ways. Like, there's obviously like a limited amount of like choices, but there's also so many choices that like I had the same reaction. I was like, what kind of coding goes into this?
Yeah.
Like, it's so beyond my ability.
Yeah, no matter where I go on the map, there's something for me to do and I'll always end up in the right place eventually. It's crazy.
It is pretty crazy. Yeah. That's cool. I wish I had done that when I got top surgery, because I was just like, binging TV and
well, I did a
rotting.
Lot of that yeah. too. Yeah, and I never played it in my lap. I only play it on the TV.
On the TV.
Because I hate the PSP size.
Yeah. Hurts my hands.
Yeah.
Getting old.
Wait, so do you not like it when couples make out on the subway?
Do you feel like it's
like improv where it's like, well, I wanted to say what I was going to say from a long time ago.
That's why I was bad at improv. No, I never project my rules onto other people.
Sure.
So like I personally feel a little uncomfortable. I'll give a peck or like and hold hands, no problem. But like making out, I personally don't want to do it because I don't want to like ruin someone else's day.
Sure.
By like watching me make out.
Yeah.
But if other people want to do it, that's none of my business.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I'm not really like a, I don't mind like certain levels of PDAs. I'm similar. Like I will for sure kiss Maddie in public or hold hands or something. Mm-hmm. And then like when you're out and stuff, like dance floor makeouts are fun and things
totally.
Like that. But the subway, I'm like, that's just not my vibe.
Yeah.
Also, yeah.
It's like, not clean.
Like, no, no. And I just like don't like if you're making out on a dance floor, like there's nobody's really looking at it's you. But if you're on the subway, that. There's nothing else to look at.
Yeah.
It is kind of like show, don't tell.
Yeah.
It's like, I believe you're in love.
Yeah.
You don't need to show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't know. I find it charming to like, especially at night, like you're coming home, but during the day, absolutely crazy. Don't be making, like, that's insane.
Right. I saw these two guys making out after they were standing and then they were sitting and making out and like kind of like canoodling, which is like totally fine, whatever. It was like the middle of the day, which is fine. Yeah. And the one was like, my mom doesn't like a lot of my exes. And then he's like, I can't wait to meet her. And then they were making out. And it was like, there's just so much going on here.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, how did you find each other?
It was the second date.
Yeah.
Are we on the same apps?
Yeah. That's not a couple that they're figuring it out.
Yeah.
That was really interesting. It was, fascinating.
But like, coming home like drunk and you're on the like because we live in Manhattan and so like coming home from Brooklyn and like yeah if there's like a couple like holding on the pole and kind of I don't know also like Marnie Charlie style or what like canoodling on the love seat
and
on an empty train. But I'm like, when kids are going to and from school, you don't need to be making out.
Yeah, and that's not a gay thing.
That's an everybody thing.
That's y'all.
Yeah.
That's the straight people.
Yeah.
That's like, get it together.
No, the last thing I want to see is a straight couple making out. No, thank you. Keep that in your house.
I feel like, I think the couples making out on the subway, I think it's gay guys. Like, I feel, I can think of it only
Listen, this is their city. Let them roam. Let them play.
The way you said it was so scary. It's like Gotham City. It's like scary. It's like a horror
gay
movie.
Guy city.
But if you had a gay guy to be kissing you, would you feel the same? So
no, I think the most romantic thing is from Taylor Swift's Dress. It's that, and it's that feeling of
I love that song.
Crowded moment. Wait, something about crowded moment. So being in a crowded room, they have no idea about me. Like having a moment in a crowded room. It's like that's love. That's connection. That's intimacy. Like that is hot to be like the look is all it needs to be. Mm-hmm. You don't need to fucking make out with like that. We're good. Mm-hmm. You can make out. There needs to be like, it's almost like the foreplay of it all.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys have a home? That's offensive.
Yes.
But even if not a home, a place, a more private place than the subway to make out. Even the station's a more private place than the actual
Try
car.
Try another car. Like,
Yeah.
I love that you brought up Marnie Charlie.
Yeah.
In my head, I was like, say the right names. Yeah.
Let's talk about that for the rest of the time.
They're getting rid of those subway seats. People are pretty upset about it.
The orange one.
It's really upset.
I know. People are bummed about it. But at the same time, the G train has only been running those for the last week. So it's like, what's going on?
Mm. And it's like, we waited so long just to get the old trains.
They cut those like 2 years ago. And now they're back? Whatever.
The G has been running really effortlessly.
That's great. I'm never on the G.
For once, Kathy Hochul.
I feel crazy bringing it up. I took the G to Long Island City yesterday. Did you know you could do that?
Yeah.
I don't like it there.
That's like the only place I know you
That's
could
the
take
end
the
of
G
the line.
Is it offensive to say that?
You don't like it. It is kind of like an industrial area.
Yeah.
It's very like new high rises and new stuff.
Yeah. And I feel like
there's not a lot of character to it.
None. And I feel like they were all built in isolation of each other.
For sure.
Like, whereas, kind of like in other parts of New York, it feels like everything kind of like, I don't know, they all flow together.
Well, there's less of the, like, at least other, obviously, like, every neighborhood in New York is subjected to gentrification and all kinds of turnover, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of neighborhoods that are just old enough that they can hold some of that character.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they've been gentrified, the buildings themselves can hold some character.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Whereas Long Island City, it's just like new high rise after new high
rise. Totally.
Like this building, 1904.
Wow.
Typhoid, World War One, AIDS, World War Two, Reagan.
In that order.
All of it.
Will be World War Three.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll find out about
that's
World
crazy.
III.
Right here in this room.
Yeah.
Should we start getting into some boys' clubs?
I want to know, what's a boys' club that you're not a part of?
So I was thinking about this. There's a bunch. I think that like there's so many boys clubs. When I was thinking about it, I was like, drink water club. Like I want to be part of the crew of people who are constantly drinking water and never having to worry about drinking water.
Yeah.
I drink one cup of water a day at most.
Wow.
And it's like, there's so the people who are have it so well ingrained, but that's kind of a lame boy's
club. No, I don't think that's lame at all. I'm the opposite. I drink a fuck ton of water, but I think that's just because I was like sort of conditioned into that. Mm-hmm. Almost like it's like a compulsion more than it is like a need for water. Like I just like every time, I don't know, I'm just like constantly sipping my water bottle throughout the day and refilling it.
Yeah.
But it feels more like a compulsion than anything else.
I'm like, I take a sip and I'm like, oh my God, like I can't believe I have to do this.
That's so funny because I find that's such a funny thing in that's a divide among people because obviously water is something we so desperately need to survive.
Yeah,
and there are certain people that don't like to drink like yourself.
I know.
They really don't like to drink water.
Skin would be clearer.
What about seltzer?
No, absolutely. The bubbles make it worse.
Make it worse.
But
okay.
I'll chug a 2 liter of Coca-Cola.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is actually 15 days into the new year, no soda in the home.
Wow. Good for you.
No, that's the thing is that it's about the home. Because I, for a while, was getting diet root beer and drinking it in the middle of the night out of the fridge.
Yeah.
And it's like, what if this is like
and never sleeping? Never
yeah, like, it's like I just can't have it in the. If I go out to a restaurant or like the movie theater, I'm not gonna not get a Coca-Cola.
No, yeah.
But I'm not gonna. I stopped getting like to keep in the fridge.
It yeah. is about the home.
Yeah,
it starts in the home.
Yeah,
no, dude, congratulations. That's a hard thing.
Would you ever be somebody who carries one of those big things that's like a gallon, and it's like you're almost there. One more. 5 hours later.
No, because I leave it everywhere, and I find it embarrassing. If you yeah. do, if you do that, respect. You are healthier than me.
Totally.
You're a better person than me. Objectively, yeah. I would leave it. I have a Hydro Flask that's like,
yeah,
pretty big. And then I'm like, after 20 minutes, I'm like, the water's stale.
No, like, I can't
it's
have it.
The it's gone
it
bad.
It's yeah. like, wait, that's crazy because you seem so neurotypical to me. Like earlier, when you circled back to an earlier question, I was like,
I'm incredibly neurotypical.
It's like
so
you're doing math
thing.
In front of us.
No, it's funny. The other thing that I was thinking for boys clubs was, because I say this often, that I feel very out of the club with gay people specifically because I'm neurotypical. I don't have IBS.
Totally.
I don't have lactose intolerance. I'm like, I feel left
Me
out.
Too.
I'm not allergic to anything. And so like there's these health things and I have plenty of other wrong with my body and mind.
Sure.
But like I'm incredibly mentally ill. But like in terms of neuro, like I feel left out. And that's
yeah.
a thing that I'm not.
The gayest thing you can be is neurodivergent. Is
yes,
like
I think so.
Yeah,
LGBTQIAN, neurodivergent. Yes. I feel that too. There is something funny about, especially I think being in New York and being in like not just gay but like queer circles. Mm-hmm. That like by that for anybody that doesn't understand, just more than just sort of like your standard like gay men, like you know, just the more expanded queer circles. Mm-hmm. I feel like there is a lot of neurodiversity in that, and there's mm-hmm. also like some social capital with having some neurodivergence mm-hmm. because
yes.
it's like because I think there's a lot of people in the queer community who want to capitalize on like an additional difference because we were the different one and now we're not because
yes.
we're around everybody like us.
Yeah.
And if you are even, I feel this all the time and maybe I'm like, and again, there's also like some benefits to being quote unquote like normcore, but if I feel
What's
so
that?
Like being sort of like normie in any way, like normal in any way, like, and again, I'm putting this
factory
in big,
settings.
Big, big quotes. I feel really judged and self-conscious about any of the, like sometimes be even the fact that I like come from an athletic background, I'm like, oh, people
yeah.
are gonna think I'm such a loser for that. Cause it's not like artsy and gay.
I hear this. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my morning pages, I was writing that I don't feel super crazy happy or super crazy depressed. I think I'm just like having a neutral normal day. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, wait, it is like a Wednesday. Like maybe that's what a Wednesday, maybe that's
because it's mid good. Like middle of the week.
Yeah, like I think it's like it's so I think that I approach joy like mm-hmm. I'm an alcoholic, so I've been sober for almost 9 years, which is like literally
Amazing.
relapse, so it can be interesting again, but like and then people believe me,
make
but
a
like,
fresh decade then do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 10 years.
Yeah, and then my parents will give me presents again for the thing. They
yeah.
totally stopped.
Yeah.
And so like I think I approach joy like an addict where it's like I should be
yes.
feeling joy all the time and mm-hmm. joy, and then when I'm not, I'm like depressed and then I'm
yeah.
feeling that. And it's like I think like most people are just like kind of just like going through life like in
yeah.
the middle.
Yeah,
but that's weird because like we're gay and in New York, so we're supposed to always be like, nah,
yeah.
at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. But I totally feel that too. I don't have any, yeah. I'm not allergic
like,
to anything.
I'm like, I poop on a very normal and like, it's never an emergency. In fact, I did have an emergency for the first time kind of in my life, probably since childhood diapers.
Wow.
Where I was like, this is what people, cause like, Brett's very open about it, but like my girlfriend is like undiagnosed ADHD. We think maybe a little bit of the tism in there. She has like not like diagnosed IBS, but like it's an emergency. Like she's
yeah.
like out of the way. I need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah,
and it happened for the first time in the grocery store of all places the other day. And I was like, this is what people feel. And I felt like a I can relate to
a member of the
now.
Community. Yeah. Yes. A gay angel came out and down to yes. you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A new.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
The tism is hard.
Wait. It doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't have to be. And I think that's an amazing thing. But there was this like guy who I was like, hey, I just like never know if you're like mad at me or if you care about me like at all, but mm-hmm. then you'll be like nice and you're just like hard to read, but then you'll be like really honest. And he's like, what about my autism do you not like? And I was like, okay,
wow.
Like, maybe yeah. lead with that.
Wow. Scott, he yeah. threw that in your face after you said those things.
Well, he's on I don't know, he's on the thing.
So yeah, like, yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, yeah,
he's on the thing.
Yeah, he's on the spectrum. Yeah, yeah.
Brits
yeah.
is very much like girl autism. Listen, she's not diagnosed. I don't want to like speak out of, she's very much neurodivergent. So, but totally. The reason why we say we think she might be autistic in a positive way is because like when I first moved into our apartment now, she had like a broken garbage can in the kitchen. And I was like, hey, I have a fantastic garbage recycling bin at my apartment. Let's move it in. And it took weeks because she didn't want to throw out the old garbage can because she felt like it would hurt its feelings, even though it was broken and like the pedal was gone. So every time we touched it, it was like a metal rod on the bottom of her foot. And like, I just got her a new suitcase for like a carry-on suitcase for Christmas. And it took a long time to throw out the old broken one because she didn't want to hurt its feelings.
Wait,
like
so these kinds what of things. Do you tie that to?
I think it's like, I don't want to like, you know, armchair diagnose, but like emotional attachments to inanimate objects typically will like scale to some kind of neurodivergency.
Interesting.
Oh, I was like, oh, she doesn't want to solve problems, which I also don't want to do.
Oh my God, that could, you
like,
know what?
It's never occurred to me to solve a problem. Like, like getting that charging dock was crazy to me because I was like, oh wait, I could
you
solve
did
this
solve
problem.
The problem.
But it was like groundbreaking that it's like make a to-do list, check something off, solve a problem.
Yeah.
It's like, it didn't yeah. even occur to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I kind of get that, but I don't feel connected yeah. to inanimate objects.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
she also stims a lot. Oh. Like vocal stimming
yeah,
and
yeah,
like
yeah. Yeah, yeah 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 totally.
We're
totally.
Gonna have her on. What if our whole podcast now is we have a neurotypical person on to explain their neurodivergent loved one, and then we have a neurodivergent yes. person on to,
yes.
to come yeah. talk about what it's like. Listen, to date someone neurotypical.
So many of the things is like what I love about, like, it's so like she'll yeah. look around in the apartment and go like that, and I'm like, sure, girl.
No,
like,
when you were describing that, I was like, that's actually enchanting. Like,
yes, it's very cute.
Want yeah, someone attached to their.
I mean,
like,
who,
that's beautiful.
We know somebody who's always going.
Oh fuck. When a joke bombs, it's like, well, I'll sing and then maybe I'll get it.
I love when you do that.
I just like, I didn't bomb. You can't bomb with 10 people in the audience, you
no,
know, because
no,
that's
no,
kind
no,
of on
no, no.
that's on them.
You yeah. can't bomb or kill when there's 10 people in the
there's
audience.
There's no data, no data.
No, no, yeah. no. Like, they wouldn't like any of my jokes, but they loved when I said, I love this audience. They would cackle. And it's like, yeah, so unbelievable. What an impressive thing to say.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the end of that story.
Yeah. I saw last night at Union Hall, I saw Rory Scovel.
Oh, nice.
Who's so goddamn funny. But he was doing like, he's doing like 10 shows at Union Hall. It's called like 600 hours with, or 600 minutes with Rory Scovel. So it's like, you know, 10 hours mm-hmm. of whatever. And it's all improvised.
Yeah.
I don't know how much he's taking from each show mm-hmm. and like incorporating, but it does seem like it's pretty much all improvised. Mm-hmm. It was so interesting to watch. And
is
also,
he the one who says that he does that on?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
guess
so
what?
Interesting.
Mike Birbiglia was there.
Wow.
In the flesh.
I love him.
Me too. I was like so starstruck that I was in such a small room with both of them. I was like, this yeah. is like the most star power in the world right now.
Yeah.
And his wife. I felt like such a super fan. I was like,
were
oh,
they
your wife's
sitting
here
or standing?
I bumped into Birbigs once.
Wow.
At BAM.
Was he
last
nice?
Year. He was so, well, we quite literally bumped into each other. And
oh
then
God.
I was like, what do I do? Because I love him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the end of that story.
Yeah,
I bumped
yeah.
into
were you seeing a movie?
It was actually the theater. I was seeing that bisexual play that Rachel Brosnahan, also Marvelous Miss Maisel, second mention of the and who else? The guy that Oscar Isaac. I always call it the bisexual play because, like Oscar Isaac was in it.
Sure.
I forget
He's
what it
bisexual?
Was called. No, but bisexual people like
love
him,
him.
If that makes sense.
I understand.
And I went with my bisexual friend.
Inside Llewyn Davis. Do you know what that is?
I do know what that
That's
is.
That's like
Isn't
when
that...
people are seeing a complete unknown, it's like, just go rewatch Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yeah.
Forget a complete unknown.
Did you
unknown.
See it?
No.
Have you
it
seen
was really
it?
Good.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I do want
it
to.
It was a movie completely without conflict, I would say, for the most part. Like, he didn't yeah. really have much.
Not
I
mean, with, even with Elle Fanning and Joan Baez?
Like, kind of, but like, he didn't really ever have to face the conflict.
The trailer
He kind of got away
out.
With everything because
he
was charming.
Yeah. It, like, he sort of... gets through all of his issues. Like, his biggest qualm at the end is that he wants to play his
that
music,
he goes
not
rock.
Folk music, and he goes yeah. rock. So it's like, and again, I don't think all movies have to have like the most. I didn't really even care that it didn't have much conflict because it was a fun watch. But it was fun. It certainly was like, and Bob Dylan does it again.
yeah.
Someone in my DMs told me I looked like a more handsome Bob Dylan. Do you agree or disagree? I'll jump.
Disagree.
Oh, less handsome Bob Dylan.
I don't think you look like him at all.
I don't think you look.
You don't
like
have
Bob
curly hair.
Okay.
I don't think you look like him.
No.
You look like a handsome Ed Norton.
Is that Algo?
Yeah, you look like Ed Norton. You look way more like Ed Norton.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah. And when my hair is really long, I look like someone said Kyle Chandler from that thing where there's football. Friday Night.
Oh, that's good.
Kind of when it's long and if I'm code switching a lot.
When you're the guy at the gym and not the Pilates princess.
Yeah.
I do want to say the thing about Equinox real quick. I have a bisexual guy friend who goes to Equinox. Could you believe it?
To be a bisexual man at an Equinox, it's like, I know. You get to choose your own adventure, really.
Well, what he says, and he's a trans man, what he says is that there's a sign, I don't know if this is for all of them, there's a sign outside of like the men's steam room that's like, no sex in here, don't do this. But it's not in the women's steam room.
Ooh.
So that makes you think women are not fucking at Equinox, but men are.
Yes.
I would say that's probably fucked up
that put signs in both places.
Yeah, they probably they definitely should put signs in both places or just to cover their bases
down.
Or take the signs down.
Take all the signs down.
It's funny that
put more up.
First of all, it's not helping. And second of all, because I'm sure it's still happening.
It's like, I didn't think of doing it, but now I want to have sex in the steam room.
People are doing it for sure.
Yeah. I bet some women have had sex in the steam room. Somebody's gotta. I mean, there's no sign, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Lawless.
Yeah. Well, this new one has a steam room and a sauna, and
that's so nice.
I don't go into those because I don't want to do that, but maybe I'll figure it out.
Yeah, we were just talking on our last episode with Julia Desmond about how saunas feel like having a panic attack.
They do. I don't find it relaxing at all. I think I'm gonna faint. And you know why? I don't drink enough water.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I bet you don't
want to be sweating like that if you didn't have any water in your system.
Yeah,
we have to talk about that. I lose everything. Like, that's why I can't have one of those bottles either. So I carry, this is reusable. I've used this like 9 times.
Anything's reusable if you put more water in it.
Eventually you do need to stop using that though, because it's going to get slimy.
You think
slimy? If you put your finger in there, it's probably slimy.
Wait,
just eventually.
This is why we have a visual medium now.
I don't like that it's single use plastic, but eventually the more you use it, it will get a little grimy.
You don't look like a hot Bob Dylan, and your water bottle's weird.
I'd rather look like a hot Ed Norton than a hot Bob Dylan.
You know what? I'm fucking blushing. Like, if I'm not the victim, what am I? I don't know how to be anything other than that. But
I've got one of those.
My water journey. Wait, can we talk about sex for a second?
Totally.
Can I say one last thing on water before
please? You're like, I'm going to give you a chance to not
before
do it.
Before we go R-rated, let me go one more rated G thing. No, I was just thinking about when you were talking about, we were talking about those bottles that have like all the things on it. And again, no shade. If anybody uses them, good for you. It is so courageous to put your goals on the outside of your water like that. Because everybody knows if you've gotten it or not.
Yeah.
Because it has the timestamp on it. Because it's like every hour.
Yeah.
So it's like everybody knows it's 3 p.m. and you're on 9 a.m. water taken.
Yeah.
You know?
That is also a stressful way to go. It's like you're walking around with an hourglass.
Literally.
Stressful way to go through the day.
It's fucking huge. Did you see Jake Cornell's TikTok that was like, people with the hydro flask, it's like your baba?
Yeah.
He kept calling it, referring it to as your baba, and I thought it was really funny.
That's funny.
And like when you drop it and it makes that giant fucking sound.
Yeah. Oh my God. Nothing is louder than dropping one of those metal water bottles. Yeah.
Also, I'm like, I'm Gold Star motivated, so I need like, I don't need a water bottle that'll tell me when to I need it to dispense a Gold Star or like pat me on the back if I hit it, but it just being there is not going to do anything for me.
Totally Or like an app that you can like log it.
Yeah, anytime I've been like sober or like free of a habit that I'm trying to kick, it's because an app is telling me good job.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what's an example?
I had this app, so I was last, I do like sober stints here and there because like I don't, is it insane to say I don't identify as an alcoholic? Is that like an insane thing to say?
No, no one does.
Okay. Well,
I do, but most people.
I do not have a drinking problem. Like, I do not drink too much. No doctor would tell me to stop drinking. But there's times where, like, if I drink a little bit too much in one night, it'll be enough for me to be like, I'm not drinking for 4 months.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something that I think I need to, like, seek help with. But anyway, so I'll go through stints where I'm like, I want to not drink for however long. And there's an app called I Am Sober. And I would log how much money I typically spend on drinks, like on a bar bill, and it'll tell me like you saved $2,000.
Oh my God.
And that is so motivating because totally. I'm like, yeah, I saved $2,000. And then
I need that for snacks at the bodega.
Like, yeah.
You saved $2,000.
You can do it. You can add anything. So then I was doing it for alcohol and I was sober for, I think, like 6 months or something. And I would just like log it and it was like super low lift. But I bite my cuticles and I've been doing that my whole life. And for so long, I was logging it as a habit because you can customize a habit in this app. So I'd be like nail biting. And then I would like log every day that I didn't nail bite and I didn't do it for the first time in my entire life for like 6 months.
Oh, that's awesome.
But then something happened. It's a coping mechanism. Sure, and then I got doxxed by libs of TikTok and then I relapsed.
Oh,
but it's
that.
A very effective app if you're like, if you're motivated by like, good job, Connor.
For and the
like,
cuticles?
Sorry, what?
For the cuticles?
What about
you
it?
Got doxxed?
No, no, no.
Oh,
that's
no, no, no.
Why
sorry.
The habit came back.
Sorry, I got doxxed for being trans. I got doxxed for being trans.
TikTok, like, there's people out here biting their cuticles.
Biting her
cis
beautiful woman fingers.
Explain trans privilege or something like that. Sorry,
yeah.
Guys. Sorry.
Wait,
that's
okay,
so
sorry.
Stupid.
Fuck that woman, first of all.
Psycho.
Yeah, no. I remember when, I think maybe perhaps that was something that drew my attention to her existence, and I was starting to understand that this woman was out here being fucking psycho and like lives in Brooklyn, and I was like,
yeah,
really?
I'm
going to walk the street. I'm going to walk the street with a water balloon. And I'm going to fucking douse her with it. Because I was like, what can I do to her that would not be illegal?
Not violent, yeah.
But that would get her.
Wait, why does she?
And then I was like, what about a water bottle full of piss? And people were like, no, yeah. That's biological warfare. I was like,
I don't know. She lives in Bed-Stuy.
She's, she just like has it out. I don't know. Unhappy with her own circumstances. Maybe queer herself in some facet. Who knows?
But also it's like grifting. Like she's famous now and like buddies with like right-wing people and like has influence because she does this thing.
Yeah.
That girl that I know, who was a Fox News correspondent who was always really nice to me and then became like a crazy like right wing
Megyn
nut
Kelly?
Job.
No, I'm just kidding.
Do you know her?
No.
Yeah, we don't even know her.
Yeah,
she's not famous.
Not even that famous.
Not famous.
I was just reading I talked about this a little bit on the last episode, but I just read this book called Transgender Warriors by Leslie Feinberg.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And it's just like it's a trans history, and it would kind of the author's like approach to it was like trying to find themselves in history and understand like where the root of oppression on trans people and queer people comes from, and like if it's something that's existed for the entirety of human history or not. And this is like a very telling statistic, but 360 if human existence were a year, 360 of those 365 days would have been non-patriarchal structures. So the 360 of the 365 days, if we were to make the entire human history a year, would have been like family and societal structures that were more matrilineal, they called them. So it was like a lot of women figureheads, but also like more social groupings that were not just like the patriarchal nuclear family that we have now. So first of all, there's that, and then also there was all this like obviously evidence about how trans existence was used as a means of like, you know, lower classes being able to express themselves, and like also like a lot of trans people were very big in every class movement that there's ever been, basically. But one of the last chapters in it is about essentially the women's movement and the trans movement sort of fighting each other and like using each other. And it was so, first of all, it's a 25 year anniversary edition of this book, I think. So like, it's crazy to see that like these questions of like turfism are still something that we're working against. But also it's just so like frustrating to me when you see it really laid out by like a really talented author like this, like sort of walking you through these arguments and talking about it, how not, even from the most selfish perspective of a TERF, how not self-serving it is to be anti-trans.
Yeah.
Like, you're only clipping the wings of women as well when you do that, and it's so frustrating to me that that's so hard for people to understand. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know how that Libs of TikTok movie made me think of that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Yeah, just like, anyway, if anybody's interested in reading more about that, definitely check that book out.
No, it's very bizarre.
Yeah.
I think that a lot, like, we don't talk a lot about transness in terms of like individual like liberties, but it's like, aren't Republicans obsessed with like individual like freedom?
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah,
do what you want to do. You can do anything you want to do. Maybe not in your backyard. Like, it doesn't have to be in front of you.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to be like, we went to war and now gay people can get married. Like, that used to be a thing. And it's like, that hasn't happened with transness. It's interesting.
It is. And I mean, it all comes down to, you know, them being, you know, government, you know, and other sort of power structures being able to categorize us in ways that are easy to, you know, sell things to and also understand and limit and, you know, put laws on us that apply to these big swaths of people. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's all to, and I just, it's, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm all that smart or like, I don't know, well, any of those things. And I feel like, and maybe just because it's
that's crazy. You should like play back the last 4 minutes of the podcast where you like give a really good synopsis of a book, a 25-year-old book.
Well, like, anyway, thank you. But I just mean that like, I just feel like it's a really, and maybe it's because of my own personal experience being a trans person that I can see these things more clearly, but it just feels like it's such an easy, I don't know. I've just never wanted to like suck off the dick of the man, you know? Like, so I just like don't get people who are so ready to like ride whoever's in charge.
Yeah, I get that.
You know?
It's Nancy Mace, too, to your point about, like, a grifter. A lot of these people have, like, found identities in, have capitalized on anti-transness to build their own identity, even if it has nothing to do with their origin at all. Like, I think she was, like, socially, I could be wrong, I think she was, like, socially, like, liberal before, and now she's, like the leading the charge against all of it. So it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, and it's, like, our identities as trans people is actually rooted in human history in so many different ways. Your identity as a conservative pundit is fucking made up. Anyway,
Her and Jasmine Crockett fought again yesterday.
You know, the congressperson. Yeah,
you know, I don't know enough about the government.
I don't either. Are they a senator or a congressman? Who knows?
One of our leaders,
one of our dedicated leaders,
elected officials, have a degree in political science. Don't ask me about how any of it works.
Wow, no. Wait, what was your other boys club you said after the water one?
Oh, like neurodivergence.
Oh, yes. I thought I had something else to say on that.
Just being neurotypical is the boys club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or when you circled back, because I feel like oftentimes on this podcast, even when we listen back, sometimes I'm like, oh, like we literally didn't return to this thing. Mm. You're better at that. But like when you were like to your question earlier, it's like.
Well, I'm a very active listener. Yeah. Something I pride myself in and insane attention to detail.
Oh
yeah,
like sometimes in like a way that's not necessary at all, and like nobody ever asked for.
I'm terrified of that. Do you think that's like, is that a weapon?
If I
could be,
I rarely ever find myself needing a weapon, but I think I could use like if I needed to, probably.
I think one of the most apt lines is apt the right word. One of the best lines of songs ever is from the Charlie Lord song. It's called "Self Defense Until You're Building a Weapon."
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
She believed my projection and now I totally get it. Forgot that inside that icon there's still a young girl from Essex.
Young girl from Essex. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
We need more Lord.
We do need more Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You were with us. Did you happen to see Muna at Terminal 5 by chance when they were here like 2 Junes ago?
I've seen them at Terminal 5. It might have been Irving Plaza.
Okay.
But no, I think, yeah.
We saw them at Terminal 5
May 2023.
Yeah. And they brought out for Silk Chiffon, they brought Lord out.
Oh, no. So I saw Irving Plaza where they brought out Bowen Yang.
Damn.
And that was insane.
That's cool.
Sorry, keep going though.
No shade to Bowen.
No, of course.
Lord was pretty exciting as far as vocals go. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's great.
I didn't know it was her until I saw these Gen Z kids in front of me being like, Lord's here on their Instagram stories or like on Snapchat.
That's so funny.
I didn't either because she was blonde, which I had not known her to
we
be.
We didn't do solar power. We didn't gauge her solar power.
Well, she was, okay, and guess, and now you're asking for more Lord and you weren't even there for solar power. And that was good album.
I'm looking for more melodrama. Is that what it's called? Melodrama?
I loved melodrama. I loved her. What's her original one?
Heroin.
God, that
Greenlight, one of the best songs. I don't know which one that's on.
I thought that was Solar Power.
No. Greenlight's not Solar Power.
Greenlight's on.
Because that was in that. It's in the episode of New Girl where Jess and Nick finally get together. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Greenlight.
I always tell myself, I'm like, if I ever make a movie or a TV show or multiple of them, Greenlight will always be.
Yeah.
The Louvre.
It's just so good.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is that song is really, gosh, back when television shows had money to spend on things like that.
That song she did Magnets that she did with like some EDM thing.
Disclosure.
Yeah. Pretty so girls don't good. Know the things that I know.
I love that song.
I don't think I know that one.
It's so hot.
I'll send it to you. It's really good.
I probably danced to it, Disclosure.
It's a really fun remix. Oh, for sure. It was also like probably around the time we were in school too. I feel like it's like a 2017-18 release maybe.
Yeah.
Really good.
Are we all the same age?
Totally. Yes.
I graduated from college in 2019.
18. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
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 So anyway,
you overlapped with us.
I was there around the same time.
Did you both go to school in North Carolina?
Yes. Thank you for asking.
I lived there for a little bit.
Where?
In Charlotte after grad school.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Wait, I didn't know you went to grad school.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to grad school?
Binghamton.
Oh, word. Okay.
What did you study?
Public administration and local government management.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's really, that's important stuff.
Yeah. You got an MPA?
I did get an MPA.
That's cool.
Good for you.
Undergrad was creative writing.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
I used to want an MPA JD.
Oh, I cannot even imagine you with a JD.
Yeah.
Couldn't imagine you sitting down for the LSAT. Couldn't imagine you in a law office.
I literally could.
To you.
No, I'm not offended.
I don't know you nearly as well, hardly, and I could see you as a lawyer.
Thank you.
So maybe that's the incorrect, because Nico knows you so well.
I kind of, at one point, I was like, I can't commit fully to like a job like that and also improv at the same time.
Well, for sure not.
Of course not. For sure not.
Yeah. I lurked at a law firm for, that was my first job out of college. I was a paralegal. It was a horrible job. I hated it so much. Every lawyer is so fucking miserable. And up their own ass. But I just can't imagine you. It's such a stuffy environment. Like, you just have too much spirit for a place like that.
It's like, when would I go to Pilates? Like,
yeah, they're not doing that.
You have no control of your schedule. No. I hate loss of control.
Yeah. You're not going to like a place like that.
Yeah.
Wait, but you're going to work in local government?
Well, no. Like, so, like, the idea was, like, this, I went to, it was, like, 2018 to 2020. It was a two-year program. And I was, like, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to be, like, mayor of an upstate New York town and, like, start. I am so disheartened by politics in general. But local politics, I really believe in.
Yeah.
At least I'm holding on to that.
Yeah.
And so I was, like, I'm very, like, community. Like, a lot of the work I did in grad school, like, worked at our Center for Civic Engagement. And I, like, would place college students in, like, volunteer programs. And I would, like, teach them about, like, stay in the city that you went to college in and, like, give back and, like, work here, like, that kind of, like, retention and everything. And I thought I'd run for some kind of elected local office at some point, but then after I graduated grad school, I got this, like, prestigious fellowship with it's called the Excelsior Fellowship, and it's for MPA students. Your professors have to nominate you for it. And I spent all of my last semester of grad school going for it. And then March 2020 happened and they cut the program. I was going to, God, in hindsight, I was supposed to be a legislative fellow for Cuomo.
Whoa.
And like, and then all of the Cuomo stuff happened. And so I was like, thank God.
Yeah, but
I got
the bullet,
I got a
Jesus.
Job working on the 2020 elections in Charlotte, North Carolina for Planned Parenthood on the state Senate race. And so I did that and I did the whole campaign thing. And I was like, absolutely the fuck not.
Yeah.
I was just like, no, it's like putting 24/7 and your full heart and pussy behind like a white guy who's going to let you down.
Yeah.
And it's like the saddest thing ever because like we were, do we care about this?
Wait,
yeah.
No,
okay, so we were working on the state Senate race for this guy named Cal Cunningham. And he was like running to unseat Tom Tillis, who is like the sitting Republican. We know
Tom Tillis.
We know. Do you know Cal Cunningham? Do you know this? Okay.
Must have lost.
So he was running against. Yeah. So he was running and he was a white guy with like straight cis whatever, but like was a war veteran and Democratic. And so if you're going to have a purple state and like lifelong Republican voters vote for a Democrat, it's going to be for Cal Cunningham. It's going to be for like the white guy who went to war and like is a family man.
He was good. Doing the Biden sort of down the middle sort of thing. Yeah.
And he wasn't even like pro-abortion. He was just kind of like, you don't need to be in my doctor's office. Like that. So like he was going to secure reproductive rights in that way. And then like, I forget the timeline, like, and he was going to win. People who were voting for Trump for president were voting for Cal.
Wow.
For state Senate. So like, that's how much people liked him. About like a month before the election, leaked text messages. He's fucking someone on his campaign team.
Who was it?
I don't know who, like,
Connor,
she was of age.
Janda.
She was of age. Like, it wasn't like it was, like, you know, an underage intern or anything. Like, it was, like, a grown woman, whatever. I think she might have also been married. But their texts get leaked, and he loses the immediately.
So
like, everybody I phoned.
Weird.
Yes. And everybody, I'll tell you about him in a second. Everybody I phone banged who were like, well, I was going to vote for Cal Cunningham, but if his own wife can't trust him, why should I? And I'm like, and may I ask you who you're voting for president? They're like, Trump. And I'm like, who famously cheated on anybody he's
everybody
ever.
And everybody.
And whatever, but and he lost, and thank God the governor of North Carolina codified reproductive rights. But no, the texts were, he called her historically sexy. And it's like, what does that mean? Like, does she look like Eleanor Roosevelt? Like, what is that? What does that mean?
Like, epic?
I don't.
Like, I wonder if it's like this is a sexiness for the history books.
Yeah.
Or it's like, you're sexy in a way that like a Victorian woman was.
Yeah. Or like, historically, you've always been sexy.
Literally, that's also what it is. Yeah.
Historically, you've been sexy. Today, not so much.
And like, one time she texted him, which I know this is a violation of whatever, you're an elected leader. And she texted him, they must have been like away and like campaigning was hard. And she was like, oh, I wish that I was kissing you right now.
Oh,
and
my God.
And grown people, I wish I was kissing you right now.
Yeah, what are you, in fifth
and
grade?
I know. And he responded back and was like, he goes, yes, me too. And I kiss you back. Like word for word. That's
was
what
that texting it via his phone? Like, I mean, yeah. Not his phone, like his like Apple Watch being like, and I kiss you back.
Yeah.
Like,
but even that is like,
so
what,
bad.
What, anyway. And so that's what lost him the race. And so I packed up my bags and I was like, no more politics. I'm not working in public admin. A lot of my work was also like nonprofit and like volunteer. Like I work in a lot of nonprofits and stuff. So I use the degree, but I don't have the little bright eye optimism about it that I used to.
Dude,
I don't understand who has the emotional availability to have an affair and a wife. Like, I don't have any emotional. Like, what are the emotionally available men? How does he? Oh my God.
I feel like also, you know, it's anytime these things get leaked, we see the DMs or the messages of somebody, you know, cheating or whatever. It's always like, why are only the people with like zero riz
Adam
getting?
Adam Levine?
I didn't
Do you
see
remember
those? No.
Avril Lavigne? What did you say?
Adam Levine.
Oh, totally.
She's missing. She's missing. Okay.
I just saw some video of her from 20 all years ago fighting with someone, Hillary Duff. Her and Hillary Duff used to go at it.
She also got in a fight with like Kelly Clarkson, maybe.
Oh, America's two of America's
she was kind of. I think it was kind of like a Alton, you're not sort of thing. But
okay, Canada.
Yeah.
But Adam Levine voted sexiest man alive for one of the years.
People vote for that. It's not like a board. You know what I mean? It's not like
okay, maybe no. It's like you pay. It's like you pay. Who says it? People.
People
sexiest man alive.
I bet there's PR teams that are like putting people up for that.
Anyway, he at one point was sexiest man alive, and when he cheated on his wife, the DMs were leaked, and it was basically like Google Gaga, Jeez Louise, you make my boner hard.
Oh,
like it's like
God.
No riz
who was
at
his wife?
All.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
No, one of the Victoria's Secret models.
Oh yeah.
Because you I thought you were about to say one of the Muppets or something, like the way that sentence started. Models. I was
Gwyneth Paltrow famously divorced from Chris Martin, head of Coldplay.
Chris Martin and Adam Levine to me
similar. I can see that. One of my favorite one of the all timers for tweets was when Adam Levine did the Super Bowl and took his shirt off and had all the tattoos, and somebody said that guy looks like a Chipotle bag.
Yes, I remember that one.
I like the Goo Goo Dolls. I think we should bring back the Goo Goo Dolls.
Iris?
The Goo Goo Dolls.
Iris.
Oh, I would
actually,
give up
that
forever
might be the only song.
To touch you.
The lyrics?
Yearning.
Totally not good. Like, they're totally, like, pretty simple. Well, I'm a Swiftie. So
are you kidding me?
I just have, like, a really
the lyrics to that song are
high bar for lyrics. Just kidding.
Okay. I think that song is one of the most beautiful songs. I also think it's such a trans queer-coded song.
I was going to say, like, lesbian yearning.
Literally.
Wait, I changed my vote.
I give up forever to touch you. So that you'd feel me somehow, the sooner or later, if something. I don't want the world to see me because I don't think that they'd understand.
Yeah,
like come on, that is such a closeted
when
anthem.
Everything feels like the movies. You bleed just to know you're alive.
I take it back.
That's
bleed
that was,
just to know you're alive.
That was a huge closeted song for me when I was in like high school. Yeah. I would just like listen to that song and be like. No one understands me. I want boy. Like
it's tough. See, I didn't know that I was queer as a kid. Like really? So I always just felt like nobody understands me, but I didn't know why. I was always like, I was like, what is weird about me? But I could never
play soccer.
Yeah, I was like, people don't get the drive to like want to do this at a high level. No, just like no. Anyway,
there's something funny to me about like the greatest queer ally is any misunderstood person. We've talked about this. How the crazy, like the girl that would pierce her belly button in the bathroom that's like totally straight.
Yeah.
Is, like, also kind of a queer ally because she's kind of weird.
And has a weird relationship with her mom.
Totally. Kristen Cavallari is who you're describing.
Okay.
She's like the ultimate
ally. Is this someone you went to high school with?
You don't know Kristen Cavallari?
I didn't either.
We're the same age. Kristen, because she was on like Laguna Beach.
Oh, I missed like the OC, the Hills.
Yeah.
You can like, skip all of that.
Yeah. 90210.
Yeah.
I missed all that.
It's funny that you grouped that. That's from the 80s.
To me,
I'm
like,
90s.
These are hot people at the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hollister and stuff.
Hollister. Yeah. Like everything I know about Southern California is from like Redondo Beach, because that was a body spray.
Mm-hmm.
Hermosa Beach, because that was also a body spray. Manhattan Beach, because body spray. And so like whatever they named their shit after, it's like, that's my understanding of Southern California.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Should we do our next boys
What's
club?
What's a boys club that you are a part of?
I think that I'm a part of a lot, which is also why I was like struggling. I don't like, I don't like a lot of them. When I was thinking about it, I was like, well, I did all the, like, I grew up popular, and I don't mean to say that in like a bad way. I was just like, I was popular in high school. I was varsity soccer, like president of my sorority. I'm sorry.
You were the president of your sorority?
I was vice president of my sorority, and then I was president of Panhellenic, president of all of the sororities on my campus. And this is saying little because I went to Oswego for undergrad, which is like
an
upstate New York school. It was not like going to Bama.
Rockville, Maryland.
So sorry. Rockland County, New York. Amazing. So it's about like a 45-minute drive north of the city.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Across from, people always, it's across the Hudson River from Westchester.
This is one of my favorite phenomenons, though, is anytime we have another, like, because I also, I wasn't like super, I was well liked in high school. I didn't go out and stuff. I like didn't party in high school because I just like didn't know how to even engage with that at all. I was kind of a late bloomer in that way.
Okay.
But I was well liked in general. And I think people knew of me because I went to a small school and I also played sports. And so I think people just like kind of, and I was the homecoming queen. So I relate. Yes. And it's always fun to me when there are trans people whose like lore from their previous life is
like, so, I grew up so hard.
Yeah.
I was really good at the performance. I mean,
come on, clearly like freaking vice president of your sorority.
It was crazy. But it was also like, it was a lot of it was, I was pretty. I wasn't homecoming queen, so I wasn't the prettiest, but I was pretty, but I was really nice.
Yeah.
And good. I'm a Leo. Good leadership skills.
Yeah.
That's so my rising.
Okay. That's great rising.
What's your original? Wait.
I'm a Leo sun, Scorpio rising, Libra moon.
I'm a
Scorpio rising and moon.
I'm a Scorpio rising.
Yeah.
I'm Libra, Scorpio rising, and Pisces moon.
Libras are the best. Libras and Virgos, in my opinion, are the two best signs.
Really?
What are you?
Taurus is my OG.
That's fun.
And then my moon is Capricorn, which I thought was bad, but Jesse Ballard said she's also that, so it's like fine.
Yeah.
I'll be it. I'll take it. And then my rising is Leo.
That's a great. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anybody who needs to know more,
Capricorn's,
you know,
like, are what even is that?
What's your sibling? What's your sibling situation? Are you
my
the middle
older
child?
Brother? Yeah.
Yeah. Taurus. But because my two, I'm one of four, and the two middle are both Tauruses. And in my head, probably just because of that, I'm like, Taurus is so middle child.
Okay, I'm the oldest of four, and one of my middle siblings is a Taurus.
Yeah, it's just very
Olivia.
Much that vibe.
Olivia is. Yeah. Shout out Buggy if you're listening.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait. So when you, because you were in a fraternity.
I was in a frat. I was
and you were in a sorority.
Yeah, what were you in?
So, I was in Zeta Beta Tau.
Zeta Beta Tau?
ZBT.
You were in ZBT.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends were in ZBT.
I'm Catholic, but like, no. But they were nice to gay people.
So and it was, like, it was.
Why? Because it's Jewish?
It's Jewish.
And I'm Catholic too. I was in a Jewish sorority. Sorry.
It was just getting off the ground too.
Wait, I'm embarrassed by that.
Were you a founding member of ZBT?
And embarrassed by this is like, get over it.
Yeah.
Also yes, gay. I was like, you're already not really in the right
what
spot.
School?
I was a founding father of ZBT at Elon.
You went to Elon, my ex-boyfriend from high school went to Elon.
Who is it?
He was on the baseball team, younger than me and younger than you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
He was a year younger than me.
By
he's
the
Nico's
law,
age.
The property of associative property is going to be.
Well, he was on the baseball team, so maybe he was there for like 8 years after.
I true. Well, I lived with this guy on the baseball team called Handy Andy. They called him that because in middle school, he got kicked out for in the room, in the classroom. And then I lived with him, and sometimes you do that in the middle of the night, and like, I love that, but it was just like, this is a lot. And then I throw a pillow.
How do you go from getting kicked out in middle school to still like,
you don't learn your lesson?
Yeah. I don't think he got kicked out, but I mean, I think it'd be worse that you're branded Handy Andy. Like,
yeah,
no, for sure. That's gonna be tough if your name is Andy.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is a lot.
Yeah, that's tough.
Handy,
I was thinking
he
was getting handies. It's a lot more sad that it was,
yeah,
just
that it was
himself.
Yeah. Solo, yeah. Solo play, yeah, as they say.
Wait, but what sorority?
I was in Sigma Delta Tau.
Okay,
SDT. It looked like eat. Across the chest in the Greek letters. And so that's why I liked it. And I cannot stress enough how much this was not like a Bama sorority row, a cook in the house. Like, it was a gang. I joined that chapter specifically because like any party I went to, there was a lot of weed and Molly, and I was like, vibes. And it was like, not like, it wasn't like you have to be pretty and skinny and like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
There was like four national sororities at my campus. But it was really fun.
Yeah.
We had 9 or 10 fraternities. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be, there's no pride in starting one.
I was going to say, so you couldn't get into any of them, you had to start.
Exactly. And like, it is humiliating to say that. And I do feel like that I maybe need to heal something.
Listen, you were a gay man in North Carolina.
Yeah.
At
fuck
a time
everyone.
Where they weren't necessarily opening arms at the fraternities.
Wait, were you out? I'm forgetting the timeline. Were you out when you did the fraternity or your closet?
I was just, I don't know. I was just kind of around. Like, I was just, like, I was around. I was loud, and I would be blackout a lot. Mm-hmm. And, like, so who knows?
Same.
But, like, they would take, they, like, for the,
you know. You said, I'm not wasting this alcoholism on being a G'd, okay? Yeah. I'm going to be a in a frat.
Yeah.
What's crazy, though, actually, I think that my obsession with, like, I think I still go through this where it's, like, I was an acting major. And mm-hmm. it's, like, why are you so obsessed with, like, being, like, but I also, like, want this thing where I'm in a fraternity and I have social capital, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like, focus on your work. Go be an acting major.
I know. I wish so bad I did that.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for like the sorority because I genuinely did learn like leadership skills and like I love a lot of those girls. Like there's nothing like they all know I was queer after like I was like I think I was identifying as a bisexual girl when I was in the chapter and everyone was like, yeah, same. All my sorority sisters, not all of them, a lot of them, when we were drunk would like go to make out with me. It was never me like initiating it.
Yeah.
That happened in high school too, where I was like, I think you're just picking up on a vibe that I haven't picked up on myself yet.
Totally, yeah.
Like, whatever. And I think actually, I used to think it was, oh, they're picking up on lesbian. Now I'm like, they're picking up that I was a guy.
Totally. I have that too.
This just kind of settled in just now.
That's beautiful.
I have that too because I... Same sort of similar thing. By my senior year of college, I was out as a lesbian. And I was sort of really, I had a girlfriend for a little while and then we broke up and I was really like stressed about my prospects of ever finding anybody else at school that to even like hook up with or anything. Cause I was like, oh, it's not going to happen. There's nobody here. Mm-hmm. And then much to my surprise, there were quite a few girls who were like really like the same thing. Like they were initiating. And then I was like, huh. And then some of them would be sort of weird about the queer aspect of it, but I was like, in hindsight, maybe they actually are straight-ish, but I don't know. Anyway.
I think so. You know what I did when I also did the same thing where I was like bisexual, whatever, and then dated a guy for 3 out of the 4 years of college, and then I broke up with him like a month before graduation because I was like, if you're gonna come and you're gonna like, I knew I had to do it, and I won't get into it because it'll take like an hour, but I was having this recurring dream that I didn't know like what it was, and they like stopped when I broke up with him and came out.
Whoa.
It was like this crazy thing, and what I did, because I was the same way, where I was like, well, I can't explore in this last month like this nothing town, like nobody's gay,
yeah,
and if they are gay, like the ones that I knew were gay, I was like, they're not my type.
Yeah.
What I did was psychotic. I went to the women's rugby team's roster on like this college's website and I followed them all on Instagram. And cause I was like, surely the women's rugby team will have lesbians on it. And that's how I hooked up with the first lesbian after I came out.
Wow.
Was someone from the rugby team because I like found like, cause I followed the whole roster.
That's smart.
On Instagram.
That's honestly smart. Yeah.
That's I was go-getter.
Yeah. Let's go get her. Yeah.
Psychotic.
I was always, after school, many of my teammates have come out and
totally.
Many other athletes at the time have come out. A lot of the basketball girls or some of the basketball girls were out, but it was like a similar thing where we were more like buddies than each other's type. It's so interesting. Like you always expect all these sports teams to have like a bazillion queer people on them or at least like lesbians. But we have a very similar thing though, because I also had a boyfriend for like 2.5 years in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a similar thing where I was just it was kind of around the time I was realizing I was queer, but I didn't, cause I had a crush on this girl and I didn't know, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And like, but it was this thing where I was just like, I got to break up with him. Like that will answer all my problems. Like I think that's what's wrong. Like, I think I just need to get out of this. Yeah. And like, after that I was like, oh, I'm gay. And so it did kind of help that, but I was just like, this has to go right now. Like,
yeah.
On a whim after 2.5 years, I was like, oh, this is over. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
He wasn't so happy, but.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. And it wasn't just that I was like, I was having this internal thing. Like, I very much loved him, what I believe to be, I loved him, but also, like, it wasn't great. Like, he wasn't nice to me. So it was also, you have to go.
Yeah.
You're so awful.
Wait, he just, like, wasn't nice to me. I loved he wasn't nice. I get it.
It's so interesting. I mean, I think this happens to anybody as you get older and as you, like, learn how to look for the right or the characteristics that work for you and a person and a partner. And as you like know yourself better and what you actually want. And obviously we're sort of beholden to our options as young people.
Yeah.
But similarly, like regardless of him being a dude, I also was just like, this guy's kind of like, he's not that great. Like we just don't really like get, we're not really of match. Like I just found the guy that seemed like the safest option to just lock it in with. And like, was just like, let's do that. But even from the jump, my friends were like, I don't think you guys are like good for each other.
Yeah. It was not great. He was like the most, he was in a frat and he sold drugs, which I was like, amazing. he was in
A+ quality in a boyfriend.
Yeah. He was in Phi Ta.
We didn't have that.
That's I've never heard of.
Well, they
any
got
of
kicked
these.
Off campus. Eventually, like his first year in, he was a year older than me. And he was like very popular, and they called him. I don't think anyone's gonna listen to this, but they called him his first name Drugs. Like they gave him the nickname of the last name Drugs.
Andy Handy.
And so when we got together, beautiful sorority woman and like hot tall drug dealer, they called us Mr. and Mrs. Drugs. And like we were like the it couple. There were many it couples, but we were one of them. And like whatever. And like there was a lot of good times or whatever. But like we were long distance my senior year, the year that we broke up. And like I remember like I got a vibrator and he came to visit me. And I was like, oh, like what? And I couldn't finish. And I was like, what if we use this vibrator? He was like, how long have you had that? I was like, we're long distance. And the only way, and he slapped me for it, if you could believe. And then the only way I could calm him down was like by like swearing to him that I only think about him when I use it. Meanwhile, I was like, no, it's the L word sex scenes every single time.
Oh
like,
my
fucking
God.
Lesbian. Yeah. Is that insane?
I've never understood the, obviously like the double standard amongst like men and women, especially in like straight circles for, you know, masturbation is like so fucked up and deeply rooted in all these like misogyny things. Yeah. But like, it's just so insane to me. Any dude who gets mad at a woman for using a vibrator or any person for using a vibrator, because it's like, you're not jerking it every day.
Yeah. Like, also, what? Like, I'm not every fucking day. Other people like you are.
Yeah.
I thought when you were saying that, I thought you were going to be like, I've never understood the urge to slap a woman in the face.
Well, that too. Well, certainly that. Certainly that. That's yeah. fucking insane. Isn't I'm sorry that, that happened also.
Oh,
like,
that's okay.
Yeah, that's crazy. Damn. Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
I thought you were like, Connor, you ever been slapped? Because you're so good at throwing things over.
No. Connor, you ever dabble in vibrators you're getting slapped?
My either or. All of this is the way that he was mean to. I think it's so interesting and awful. I was thinking, I approach love the same way that I approach alcoholism, which is a problem. Also okay. the same way I approach joy, which I'm realizing now in my morning pages. Is
like
that
all or nothing?
All, yes. Yeah. And it's like, and it always feels like using. It always, it's like love, it's like this thing that you're using, and then it becomes, but you're using it, it's contingent on the other person allowing you to use. Mm. And then so when I think about like love, it's like, was it ever good? Even the parts, and it's like, how do you even dabble in this thing where you have to like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really complicated. I mean, I'm here two things I'm thinking of when you say that. Like first, I think A, obviously like anybody who's an addict in history, his brain is probably wired to think about things those ways anyway.
Yeah.
Which is a hard thing to overcome in itself. But then also like our world is set up for us to become addicted to things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like our phones are constantly making us addicted to it and other things around us. So like it is an uphill battle. Also in that like I think about that sometimes too when you like reflect on relationships of like, was any of it worth anything or whatever? And I always come back to the idea that like, it's all shaped me.
Yes.
And that's what's most important to take away.
Yeah.
Is that it's helped me shape myself into who I am and help me be a better partner to Maddie and, you know, and a better friend in certain ways and to help, I don't know. So I always find that like there are, even if the person sucked, there's always something to get to.
This
take
is how
it.
I view it.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, there's a lesson to be learned. Mm-hmm. I learned I won't let myself ever get be fucking treated like that ever
again.
Yeah,
totally.
And like, whatever, but I get what you mean about like the all or nothing. I have like a I get it. I have an addictive personality, so I understand what you're saying.
What are you addicted to?
Weed. Yeah. Like, I know people say you can't be, maybe it's a dependence. But like, I have an addicted personality. Like, I even think, I don't this is like a confessional now, but like sometimes I'm like masturbation, probably.
Yeah.
Probably addicted to that. Or like, again, a dependency. I always see people on Twitter and I feel so called out. They're like, oh, going for your like afternoon, like masturbation. Are you horny or are you looking for serotonin? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to be happy.
It's so
or
hard.
Like, or are you stressed? And I'm like, even if what's the wrong thing? I don't know.
It's also like, there's so many ways to, you know, in our day to day navigate those times where we're feeling like we need a dopamine spike or whatever it is. And like, there's so many ways to achieve that.
Yeah.
Masturbating probably isn't the worst thing you could do.
No,
you know what I mean?
Know.
There's
that's
like,
what
so,
I think.
You know, like we're not all going to meditate every time we're having a
I
tough
know.
Time. It's
and
just not that easy. You
and
know?
I cannot physically meditate.
Yeah.
I'm bad at it. And I don't know. I've like taken self-assessment quizzes of like, am I, like sex and love? Like, am I addicted? Am I like a sex and love addict? Because I've like been in so many relationships where I've been treated poorly, but like refused to like, you know, like these kinds of things. And like, hooking up and like maybe like in ways that weren't productive for myself or like good for me, you know, like those kinds of things. And so, yeah, I would like those things.
Yeah.
I definitely have an addictive personality too, I think, because I also will like, if I like latch on to, like there was a time where I was having so many fucking seltzer waters. I've cooled off on it.
Oh yeah.
But there were a time where I was going through like 8 a day.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's just like stuff like that. And it, like where I just get like really fixated on something and it's almost like a compulsion.
It's a portion control thing for me too, of like when I like something, I'm like, I want it.
Yeah. Cause I also like, sometimes I'm trying to be more intentional about my weed intake in general, just because of that. Cause I'm like, I feel like I'm doing this just to do it, not because I want
it.
It's
oral fixation.
Yeah, well, that too. Like, it totally is. And then, you know, I think you said this to me one time, because it was the first time I ever played Spider-Man, was at Sam Schaefer's house, and I was like, this game fucking rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately went home, and I went to this game store that's, like, on my street to, like, go buy it, like, immediately. And I remember you being like, nobody ever give you heroin, because I was just immediately like, I have to have this right now.
Yeah.
And even with this new Elden Ring game, it is such a place to like put my brain when I need to like be thinking about something else or shut off.
Yeah.
And I like, I don't know, it's a similar thing where I'm just like, I'm so, I mean, I've been watching so many videos about it, I'm like, so I just get so hooked on it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's like addictive or if it's like just compulsive or like what it is. I don't know, it's hard to parse through these things.
Yeah,
I know. And it is like, what's the line? And is it so bad to be addicted to something like a video game? Who cares? Like,
yeah, I mean, like, yeah, if, in the way of, because that's the thing, it's like, if it's, that's what's
everything
hard
in moderation,
right? Yeah. And that's what's hard for me, is like where I can rationalize certain things, where like something like seltzer water, it's like, who gives a fuck if I've 8 a day? It's fucking water. But it's also just like, it's not that, it's like, the why are you having 8? Like, why is the portion control so difficult, even if it's water? And then like with video, like, when is it teetering on act? Like, if it's not, because like I can rationalize it to myself, if I'm like, oh, it's not in the way of my life.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or something, you're not staying like up weed, till 5 a.m. Right. You're not spending all your money on like in-app purchases. Like, then I'd be like.
And then with like weed, it's like, oh, like, you know, I'm functional. I'm not hungover. Exactly. I'm not doing it before I go to work. I'm not, you know, like, I don't, you know, I'm not somebody who necessarily wakes up and does it or anything like that. Not that, you know, again, I'm not trying to
shame
anybody.
I'm like, totally.
I'm not trying to shame anybody that does that or anything like that. And like, you know, but, you know, when is it, where is that line? Yeah. It's hard to know, because it's like, you can be so functional with so many things that it's like hard to know if it actually is like addictive or not.
I also completely forgot the one thing that I was addicted to and am sober from, which is cocaine.
Oh, nice. Good for you. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Someone told us that cocaine only lasts for 15 minutes and you have to do more. Is that true?
Have you done?
I did cocaine. I remember one time my roommate from college insisted it was twice. Yeah. I don't remember.
Okay.
But like, I didn't like it because I wanted to be drunk and then maybe like not drunk. And then I cried and called my mom and I was wearing cowboy boots. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I slept through a master class with some acting man who was in from New York. Oh, big deal. The next morning. And like, I was like, this can't
we too could be actors in from New York at your college.
I was quite aggressive on it.
For quite the feat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what happens. I mean, a lot of people get pretty aggressive on it.
Yeah.
Not
a
lot of people are more fun on coke in my experience.
And I'm really weak with drugs, because it was also like, I was going to school at Oswego. There's nothing, there's one main road and there's nothing to do, no matter how cool you are, like no matter what your vibe is, there's nothing to do. I was doing like cases of whippets as a girl. Like, what was I doing? I was huffing nitrous gas all of the time.
Yeah,
all of the time.
What is it feel
for fun
like?
You get like a head high. Yeah, you get like a head high, and like, it's so funny looking
like
back, because
like,
it's laughing
gas,
it makes your voice real deep. So like, but it's mostly truly,
it does fuck with your voice. I forgot about that.
It's truly the act of doing, it's just the act of doing it, of like, I loved, you get these little tanks. People don't do whippets, but like, you get these little tanks, and then you the whipped cream canister from a restaurant that you work at, you know, those things where you twist it on, but it's like, it was the act of it. It's the same as like, for me, like, I only smoke weed pens now because if I'm obsessed with rolling joints and I go through weed, so, and I don't have the money to like constantly be going through flower weed like that. And so like, you crack it on, you like hear the gas enter the chamber, and then you like, and then you're kind of like, and you're like, whoa, and your voice gets like all deep, and then it goes away.
It's like a 10-second.
But when you
do
a whole case, like, you're at after hours and you're at a frat house and you're like just like doing it all the time. But with coke, it's like, it was the social thing. It was like,
yeah,
and also like being the one with the bag. and like having like people come up to you and like wanting a bump, and you're like, yeah, I have the bag. And then also like everywhere you go, like every 15 minutes you're like going to the bathroom, and it's like a social thing, and it's like
cocaine.
It's psychotic. It's the it's a waste of money. It's the stupidest thing you could do.
Yeah,
it does last like however 15 minutes, and then you have to do another bump to feel anything again. You're insufferable on it. I think like coke bad. Also, yeah. I just stopped putting things up my nose.
Yeah. I've never really been around somebody on coke that I'm like, yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's like, always like really rocks.
You're being intense and I'm scared. Yeah.
Coke always not to be precious on pod. I don't even, I'm not virginal. Like I don't want to be something like weird virgin, but like anytime someone does coke, I'm like, oh my God, we're doing coke. Like
I know.
What?
I know.
But I'm like, I'm old enough. It's like, yeah, yeah. People are doing coke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of those things I didn't realize how many people were doing coke until I, you know, became an adult. I was like, oh, fuck, a lot of people are doing coke.
No, everybody's on coke all of the time.
Yeah. Because I also, like, you know, being an athlete through college, like, we just, like, kind of didn't have the same sort of social life a lot of the college students do. So I felt like an additional layer of, like, protect. Not, like, I know, I just wasn't exposed to it until much later. And then I was like, Jesus Christ, I didn't realize people were doing it like this.
No, people are on all, your teachers, your doctor, like, everybody's on fucking coke.
This podcast should be rebranded as Two Guys That Aren't on Coke. It's not on cocaine.
Yeah.
I've done a whippet one time, pride of like 2021 maybe, and my ex like had a seizure on it, and I was like, okay, I'm never doing that again.
I mean, it puts holes in your, it's not I cannot stress enough how much you are huffing gas.
Yeah, it's not great. I did one, and it was like, and it lasts like 7 seconds, and I was like, okay, that was something. And then but my ex literally had a seizure, fell out of their chair, and I was like, okay, we're not doing that again.
That's scary.
No more.
I have so many questions, but I don't just feel like the time.
Well, we can talk off pod.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we get to our last
one? Sorry, I go so, you want to
no,
see
no,
in
no,
the world?
Please.
I don't, I was really thinking on what, can you guys give me an example for yours? And then I'll.
Totally. Yeah. Okay. I mean, so we usually describe it to people as like a community you'd want to form. So like, for me, maybe it's like right now I'm feeling like, trans dudes who want to get really into Elden Ring with me.
Yeah,
that would be a boys club I'd want to form.
Someone to show me how to use the
or anybody,
Smith
not
machine
just
at the
dudes.
Gym. There's all these things at the gym that I really want to be able to use, but I don't know how to use. And there's nothing more humiliating than trying to set something up.
I know.
And then you literally are just like, take an L. I just have to go. People have seen me. They've watched me like not be able to set this up. Probably that guy that messaged me.
They should be helping
you. They're not. Blue Lives Matter, they're not.
The guy who was like, your form
when do Connor's lives matter, huh?
Connor lives matter. Let's go.
The guy
who's a stripe on the flag of just your face.
Yeah. Wait, there was a squat machine that I did. This is why I like had to leave Equinox. But like I don't even know if this makes sense. But it was a machine, basically a leg press, like a standing leg press, and I got in it, and you set yourself up, and I didn't know how to undo it. So I was just like, I'm trapped.
That's
like
so
I'm literally
scary.
Trapped. And I just had to stand there and be like, I'm totally fine. Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna freak out. I don't want anyone I'd rather die than look remotely embarrassed.
Of course.
Totally. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather just totally just die. And yeah.
The only thing worse than actually dying is ego death, of course.
And then this personal trainer came up and was like, oh, just do this. And then he was like, don't let this discourage you. And I was like, I will jump out of this.
Yeah. Well, that's why I stopped going to the gym. Growing up an athlete, like, I like getting my exercise from, like, running around. I was a keeper. And so it was like, I want to jump into mud and, like, toss a medicine ball at my face. Like, that's how I want to get my exercise, not from being at a gym.
Yeah.
But I started working with a trainer in the past year, and they'll send me, like, I do it in my gym in my apartment building, and they'll send me YouTube videos of, like, this is exactly how you do this.
Yeah.
And so I study the YouTube video so I know exactly what to do, because that was what was preventing me from, like, working out, was because I was like, not only that, but I don't want it to fall on me. Like, it's so, my fingers in between the weights or something.
No,
like, it's so scary.
No, it's, I mean, it's really dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lifting is crazy. The gym is crazy.
Yeah. It is crazy. I mean, you have to sign so many fucking waivers to, like, use it, because they're like, everything in here is a death trap.
Yeah.
I'm similar, though, because I've in the last, like, couple years, I've gotten more into, like, lifting and, like, running to run. But for the longest time, I was like, if it's not a sport, I, like, don't want to. Like, I need to be playing a game to give a fuck about exercising.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's hard. As an adult, it seems like it's easier to just find the time to go lift than it is to, like, find a pickup soccer game.
Well, that was one of the boys, I know we're wrapping up, but that was one of the boys clubs I was going to say that I'm not a part of that I'd like to be, is, like, adult rec leagues.
Yeah.
Because, like, so, especially, like, when I was trying to do it in Charlotte, it was, like, because I'm like, I haven't played soccer in so long. It was like such a big part of my life and a good way to get exercise. And it's like, okay, but you have to come to the two practices during the week. And if you don't come to the two practices during the week, you can't play in the Saturday scrimmage. And if you don't play in the Saturday scrimmage, you can't play next week. And I'm like, who has time to do any of these? And some comedians have recently like added me to that giant group chat of pickup games, which seems so much more doable. But I'm like, I have a job, like not to be that dick, but I'm like, I have a job and I'm trying to do comedy and I've got a girlfriend. And like, I'm like, how do you find time to go to two practices in a game every week?
No way.
That feels in Harlem, and then it's in Greenpoint, and then the next day it's on Randall's Island, and I'm like, what the how do you do this?
No, it anybody who like is able, it's like gotta be your full-time thing. I mean, in addition, if you have like a full-time job, it's gotta be like your only extracurricular is playing one
but
of
those. So many comics find a, like, I don't know, I feel like you're always playing soccer.
I play sometimes.
Lampley's always like, Lampley has like a big boy job and is like playing soccer twice a week.
Oh really?
Yes.
Dang. Well, I mean, I used to play a lot more. Once I started doing comedy, it was harder because it's like the same time, like after work, you know, work hours, so the evening is tough. But I've played some with like some friends and stuff. Honestly, as I get older, like I fucked my hips so bad from playing for so many years that like every time, even when I'm at work and I'm just kicking a ball around with the kids afterwards, I'm like, my hips are fucked up. Like, I unfortunately don't know that I have many soccer games left in me, unfortunately.
Damn,
which sucks. I really want to join a gay guy league, but like, what for would which I sport? Say? That's the part of the problem. Like, I can't play much.
What about volleyball? They're always playing volleyball.
I don't have an eye.
Sure,
I feel like that's the worst one.
What about
kickball? I'm not good at, again, I don't have foot eye. It's hard to land on the thing.
I'm trying to think of a sport where you could, you know, what if you were like the coach?
Oh, or
I think I need to join like a run club, but then I'd be but like, what would I, like on my list of goals for 2025 was to join a run club, but like, what is that? And where and when and why? And so I'm not sure. This is my journey.
I mean, I also like as an adult who has more agency over my ability to choose when I do things. I'm not trying to play outside sports in the cold ever again. I'm really not trying to do that. That's just not fun. So maybe save the running league for the spring.
Yeah, and then I'll join a run.
What about rock climbing?
Oh, rock climbing!
You're pretty nimble.
My new gym has rock climb, and I really like want to take swimming lessons. My new gym has a pool.
Really?
Swim? That's amazing.
Yeah.
To heal my inner child, because when I was a kid, I was like, I remember going to the YMCA with my dad, and that's actually the end of the story. So this was the smell of chlorine.
I was like, you drown at the YMCA.
Did you ever watch? Speaking of Brabalia from earlier, have you ever seen? We saw
Old
it.
Old Man in the Pool.
We saw it together. That's right. Yeah. I want to go back and watch it now because we saw like kind of an earlier run of it. I want to see the final version that's on Netflix.
He has another show.
Yeah,
I forget what it's called.
The Good Life. He's touring right now.
Yes, The Good Life. Very dad core. Very dad core.
Dad. Yeah. Which. I mean, that's his life. So.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know a boys club.
No, it's all good. We've covered a lot.
Because I have like such a gay answer, which is like, I don't know, like I think that I successfully formed a community and like the shit I've been doing in the past like 5 years
totally
of, like, doing back in like my lesbian TikTok stardom, you know, and like creating a safe space for queerness and mental health and shit like that. So I think that I'm like I did it.
Yeah,
the work is done. No, but like that's what I would want to see, and I think I'm doing that, and like with my podcast and stuff like that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah
Well, dude, thank you so much for being on the pod.
Thank you so much.
This was a joy. Would you mind plugging your podcast or anything else you got coming up? Your Instagram and stuff?
So I co-host a podcast called Good Boys with Kylo Freeman, and we're actually coming back for season two in the coming weeks.
Hell yeah.
We're going to have stuff. We're going to do On Air Fest, which will be fun. On socials, it's Hot Funny Smart Maddie. Which is, I didn't think it out when I made it that. And so now when I give it people, it's so annoying. On everything. Twitter is Maddie Comedy.
Nice. Awesome. Cool. Yeah. For any of those users on X who are still out there, check that out.
Before I leave, I think I might
before that wasteland falls apart, indefinitely. Amazing. Well, boys, thank you so much for listening. Follow Maddie on socials and check out his podcast. And we'll be back next week. See you later.
Bye.
Do I kiss?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.